As we move into the Lenten season, as some would call it, we will focus some of our things and our messages in that direction. There are things, as I mentioned to you earlier in the service, there's our creeds and statements. And as we come to this time of Easter, it's good that we remember the foundation of the salvation that we enjoy. It comes through Jesus dying on the cross and his resurrection. But there are many things that go into that, and it's important that we understand it, because there will be times when some will question whether you know what you're talking about, or maybe you question, or there's this wondering. And so we're going to look to this from Scripture. We will say, some might call them creeds, or we'll say statements, or make comments. We'll sing songs. But it's important that we know that there is a scriptural foundation, and this scripture is what we should move back to and look to. So we will exercise our Bibles a little bit today as we start laying some of that foundation, because we have hymns that we sing, we have carols that we sing, and we might be reminded today in this session that what happened at Christmas looks forward to Easter. As we turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 34 through 35. Now, we'll be working your Bible a little bit today. It will be on the screen, but it's good to exercise our Bibles. It's good to have a physical Bible. Have you ever got one of those Bible programs on your phone, and then they do an update, and they change the version on you? They can just change the version of the Bible on you, and you hopefully would notice. But be careful that you have something to go back to the check on. With all this AI stuff, some of you might, hopefully not, but when people look to Google for their understanding of the Bible, and AI gives you a doctrinal statement of what this means, don't just trust the online. You should be going back to a Bible that you know. You know. And if you're reading your Bible, as hopefully you are in the daily readings that we talked about at the beginning of the year, and as you learn your Bible, we'll be able to understand and identify when the counterfeit comes along, when something's not consistent with Scripture. But if all you say is, I want it to be according to the Bible, and your Bible is an online AI Bible, how do you know if you have not studied? I do use the online for research and things, but I know where to check to make sure that the Scripture is where it's at, and having studied it for years, hopefully I'll remember some of the things if they would try to take me astray. But if we look to Luke chapter 1, verses 34 through 35, Luke chapter 1, 34 and 35, you'll remember this maybe from a Christmas message or a Christmas song. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. This is reminding us that Mary was a virgin. She did not know a man, but it says what is in her would be conceived of the Holy Spirit. And we're like, oh, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. I want to remind you is, why did Jesus need to come in the first place? Because sin had entered into the world. There was the fall of mankind, where they weren't supposed to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they did, disobeying God. Eve did. And she gave to Adam, and he did as well, and that completed the fall. But in that same passage of Scripture, we go to Genesis 3:15. And tie this together. Genesis 3:15. He's talking to the serpent, but who does the serpent represent? Because it was through the certain serpent that Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and they sinned, And that's why we're born in sin. Verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, some of your Bibles might have the words "seed" and "his" capitalized, because it's a prophecy of Scripture that her seed, not man and woman, male and female, but her seed, indicating the virgin birth of Christ. "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Speaking of Jesus basically stomping on Satan's head. And the bruising of his heel, the persecution, the suffering that Jesus went through. So Mary was a virgin. Didn't know a man. And we'll talk about why that's important. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, so by being of a virgin, the intent was that Jesus would be without sin. We are all born in sin. We've talked to you before about that. We are born with a sin nature. The old King James would use the term carnal nature. But Jesus was not born with that. Conceived of the Holy Spirit of a virgin. Because he needed to be without sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." It's talking about him. "For he," God, "made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." He needed to be without sin. You remember the Old Testament, where the lambs were sacrificed. And what kind of lambs? Not the ones that were, had flaws, not the ones that had issues, but they were the spotless lambs, without spot or blemish. And that was the precursor of the sacrifice that Jesus was going to make for us. And so he needed to be without sin. It was important that he was without sin, so that he could be the sacrifice for our sins. You can't, if you're going to wash dishes to make them clean, how many of you would go out into the mud puddle, scoop up some water, put it in your sink, and use that to wash your dishes? Probably not. You would want something clean in order to make that which is unclean clean. And you might clean it and rinse it to get all the initial gunk off of it. And then you're going to wash that off. And then you're going to take it into another place to sterilize it, right? Some really hot water. Jesus needed to be without sin, because how can he who would have sin be able to clean and make something holy? How can unholy make something holy? How can something with sin make something with sin to have forgiveness? How can you use the unholy to cleanse unholy? It needs to be the holy, the divine, cleansing the unholy. And so we come to this interesting concept and consideration. Jesus was virgin born, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Because we needed something holy to claim that which was unholy. See, some might wonder, when did Jesus enter? Was Jesus created? Did his soul begin at conception? Conceived of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about in just a minute that that's not the way this took place. That's an important recognition that Jesus was not created at his conception. He was at creation. In John 1:1, it starts out, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was there at the beginning. But we got to be a little careful there, is that when we say Jesus, when did he become Jesus? You could maybe make the case that he became Jesus when he was born and when he was given that name. But he was God the Son long before that. See, God the Son was at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it. So God the Son was at the creation. But he took on the form of a human when he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. But that's not where he came into being. Jesus was not any person, just born, and then God elevated him to being divine. He was already divine. He's God the Son. And because he was God the Son, see how this all lays in place? Because he was God the Son, he was already divine. He was already holy. And then he humbled himself to take the form of humanity, but he needed to be human because of why? To be the sacrifice for the sins of the humans, of mankind. So he had to become man. But it had to be in such a way that he wasn't born sinful. So how do you do that? Virgin birth, conceived of the Holy Spirit. But he already existed. He was at the beginning. It says in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let's move to that scripture. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Well, basically say what I just mentioned to you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now here's where it happens. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. See, that's, he didn't lose his divinity. He limited, self-limited him, and coming in the likeness of men, verse 7, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He took on the name of Jesus. That's his humanity. But he was Christ, the anointed one. But it was always God the Son. But that had to take place in order for Easter to be a possibility. And he's the only one that was without sin. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Mary was not without sin. That's in conflict with what the Roman Catholics teach. They might tell you that Mary was born without sin, that somehow God imparted some special grace to her, that she was born without sin. Well, that's a problem. Because how would she be born without sin when everybody else is? Would she also have to be born of a virgin? And if she could be born without sin, could she have been the sacrifice? They tried to elevate Mary to divinity. They even prayed to Mary. Mary is not God. I don't like the term Mary, Mother of God. She was the mother of Jesus. And Jesus was also God. She's not the mother of the Godhead. She's not divine. She has no power. Nor should we worship her. Nor should we have false idols that we kneel down to her. Jesus did not become divine. He was divine. So we have to think about this standpoint. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son took the form of man, conceived of the Holy Spirit, divinity, all divine, the form of man through Mary, all man, divinity without sin, born of a virgin, still without sin. He was tempted, he could have sinned, but he did not. That's the formula. That's the prerequisite in order for Easter to be possible. But remembering that he was not created, because some doctrines will tell you that we all can be our own God. They will tell you that you can become God if you do the right things. They will. I'm thinking of one in particular, and the more kids you have and the lineage that they research, you eventually become the Lord of your own planet. You might hear them from the term of another gospel of Jesus Christ. Mormons. Jesus was not a man that became divine. He was divine that limited himself. He could have unlimited himself at any time. He limited himself, submitting himself even to death. And put all that together for what purpose? For our salvation. And we find it prophesied all the way back when Moses wrote, about a time before when what God said to Adam and Eve and the serpent, and basically to Satan in Genesis. So from the foundations of the earth, God had a plan for our salvation. Because before we could have forgiveness of our sins, we needed something that could cleanse us, and the way that it could cleanse us was by having that sinless man. And the only way you can get that is start with the holy. Start with the divine. God the Son took on the form of man, all God, and we call him Jesus. We call him Jesus. These truths we must be reminded of. We have to think about how it all fits together, because otherwise some would draw us astray. We've talked today about how some try to make Mary as being sinless. We've talked today about how some might think that you can become God, or that Jesus became God. He was God before. Took on mankind. Took the name Jesus. These little things, we might think, these truths that are solid for us, and maybe you've heard them all your life, is important that we understand them, and that they're rooted and grounded in our doctrinal understanding of Scripture. Because otherwise, people will pull you astray. They'll tell you enough truth that you think it's right. It's kind of like people are phishing with emails. They trick you. They tell you and tell you enough. You're like, well, that looks like that's right. Yeah, that's the same icon that the Facebook uses or whatever they're trying to spoof you on. That's the same. And then you go along with that, but behind that's the trap. So we want to be firm on these things in particular, because it's the foundation of our doctrine. We'll see these things in our creeds. We'll see these things in our hymns. These things that remind us of our doctrine and of our base. And we keep them before us. But we also have to, from time to time, remind ourselves that it all works back to Scripture. And in our theological approach, it works together. It makes sense. We don't have to put our brains away when we're Christians. The farther we dig into God's Word, we find how fascinating it is. And our brains engage, and it locks it together. So be encouraged, be well rooted in the things of God. And as we go through this journey and touch on these things, as we move towards Easter, may we be reminded of the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and how much caring and love that God had for us, that He so loved the world. Let's be standing together. Lord, we pray that we might be reaffirmed in our understanding of doctrine. As we lead into Easter and we build on these things, because this becomes the foundation of our faith, the foundation of our salvation. And so let us be strengthened in our understanding of you, in his understanding of the plan of salvation and the great effort, the great sacrifice that you made because you loved us so we can have everlasting life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.